Next on BYUSN College Football Nuts. Rejoice! College football, EA Sports 25 is out. Did they get it right when it comes to BYU? And how it will play out on the field? Rich Clark, the executive director of the College Football Playoff, joins the program to discuss future expansion and his own history with BYU.
Today's Top 5 Tuesday features the five most underrated players on BYU football's roster based on the video game ratings and the BYU basketball recruiting news that has even the experts doing double takes.
Welcome to BYU Sports Station, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Tuesday, July 16th. I am Spencer Linton alongside the Picasso of painting college football fields, Jason Shepherd.
Look, the closest thing to Picasso I get is one of two things, actually. Finger paints.
Okay.
Or watercolors.
Oh, I was going to say, there are multiple things.
Where you literally just put it in water, put it in the color, and do your thing. That's about it. But we did get some pretty cool news. We knew that there was going to be a new field at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Yes.
We've seen that over the last couple of months,
yep.
And it looks beautiful. But then yesterday, for people who have played the game, they noticed there was a change at midfield, and then BYU football says, yeah, for those that noticed, this will be the logo at midfield. So a painted royal blue oval or stretch Y at midfield.
Yep. Well, it is an oval too.
Yes.
Don't sell yourself short there on your ability to decipher shapes.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
As the water colors Picasso.
As an artiste, you need to know your shapes.
Indeed you do.
But yeah, pretty cool. It's, you know, we're used to seeing just kind of the white outline of the stretch Y, but now it's going to be filled in with the royal blue, which give me a little pop of color.
This is well played by BYU football, their fields crew, their social media to collaborate in a way with EA Sports to say, yep, this is what's going to happen when it comes to BYU football in 2024.
There's some Easter eggs that you didn't realize was an Easter egg at the time.
I love it. And a shout out to the grounds crew who have worked tirelessly to uproot all of the grass in Lavelle Edwards Stadium and replant brand new sod. Like, they have worked tirelessly to get the field ready and to get that grass to take root. And certainly with Jason Shepherd's help and some watercolors to paint the field so it looks
beautiful. It's like a paint by numbers. By the way, the midfield was two. So
on that note, rise and shout. Let's get to a video game edition of What's Trending.
EA Sports College Football is coming back, baby.
College football is such a different animal.
I think it'll be difficult to find specific parts of the LES experience that are not depicted in this game.
EA Sports, it's in the game.
It is What's Trending, also in the game, presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event. If you missed it, and I don't know how you would, especially if you're on social media, yesterday the EA Sports College Football 25 video game was officially released. It was an early release, but come on. Like, if you are into this game, you were paying the extra money to do this.
Yes, and you've been waiting for months, if not years, for this to happen.
People are claiming that they've played the game like 12 to 14 straight hours. I believe them, actually. I do not doubt it. Our good friend Matt Brown from Extra Points, he's been all over this thing from the announcement that it was actually coming back to playing it yesterday. And notably, he played Ohio State versus BYU, his two favorite teams in his first game. BYU put up 49 points against him, by the way.
I'll take that.
Uh-huh.
Every day of
the week.
I
won't tell you how many Ohio State scored against him. That said, BYU, in the game, officially released yesterday, ranked 12th among the 16 Big 12 teams. So the media poll has BYU number 13. Mm-hmm. EA Sports has BYU the 12th best Big 12 team. Jason, when you step back and look at that, EA Sports has BYU at number 12. Is that a fair ranking?
Yeah, look, there's going to be my personal opinion, because you and I have had this discussion so much. We think BYU is going to finish ahead of where everybody expects them to, and that's apparently in the game as well as in the preseason rankings. You mentioned 13 in the preseason rankings, one spot ahead, so at least EA Sports has a bit more confidence in BYU. What I did find, though, it was pretty interesting how when you look at the rankings of all the Big 12 teams, for the most part, it's pretty true to what the Big 12 preseason media poll had, with the exception of one team. One team took a significant jump from the media poll to the game.
Who could it be, Jason?
That would be your Colorado Buffaloes.
Of course.
They've got them tied. Well, they're tied with Arizona and Kansas for the second best rating, just one spot behind Utah.
Yeah, and Kansas and Oklahoma State, right?
Well, yeah, and Oklahoma State. So I did not mean to overlook you there, Cowboys.
That's crazy. So there are four teams rated 87. Colorado is one of them.
Which is a significant jump from where they are expected to pick. And again, we're talking about we don't put credence in where BYU is. So it's probably not the best for us to say, well, then we're going to have 100% that where they have Colorado's, well, they're where they'll finish. But yeah, that kind of stuck out to me. But based off of the preseason media poll and what we're reading about how people view BYU, this really doesn't surprise me where BYU is ranked.
The question is it fair? And the answer is yes. It absolutely is fair. In fact, I had been swayed by Athlon Sports and Phil Steele and Lindy's Magazine and some of these other publications out there that had BYU so low in the Big 12, in some cases finishing 15th out of 16 teams, that I kind of expected high 70s. So when I saw an 80, I was like, okay. I felt almost favorable to me. Yeah. But looking at how the rest of the Big 12 teams shake out compared to BYU, yes, 80 feels fair. TCU is also an 80. Jason, I think that they are weirdly low. I think TCU is going to surprise a lot of people. This is a team that's 2 years removed from playing in the national championship game. I know they lost a ton of talent in the NFL draft, and they were not really good last year. I feel like that team should be higher.
I have a lot of confidence in what Sonny Dykes can do.
BYU, I believe, will finish a few points higher. If this is like a living rating too, which EA Sports has been known to do, depending on how you play, I believe there is an element of this in the game. Like, they will collaborate that and coordinate that with how a team actually is performing on the field in the actual season to raise the rating. I think we're going to see BYU's rating take a few points of an uptick. Utah, 88, they're picked to win the Big 12. Makes total sense. But the Colorado one is pretty wild.
They took a massive jump in the rankings versus in the game versus the preseason media poll.
And I should say it's wild because Coach Prime has that much of an effect.
Sure.
And the Sanders brothers, for sure. They have elite-level talent. They're going into individual ratings, obviously, to get this aggregate. But Colorado was picked to finish, 10th or 11th in the Big 12 preseason poll? So to see them as the second highest rated team, tied for anyway, behind only Utah. Again, this is the Coach Prime effect.
Yeah.
The Shedeur Sanders effect. I think it's fair, maybe even a little favorable, that BYU is 80s. They did not hit the 70s. I was glad to see that. I did not want to see BYU mired down there in the high 70s.
What did you make of some of the individual player rankings?
Well,
ratings overall.
Nobody's jumping off the page for BYU, maybe outside of Tyler Batty, who, by the way, got an 84.
And agreed with it.
There's some significance to the number 84 with BYU football.
Tell me more about this, Spencer. What happened in 84?
Jason, I don't know if you've heard, but BYU won something called the National Championship in 1984.
Is that the trophy
that
sits at the student-athlete building?
And contrary to what some people say, that it's a fabricated title, people actually voted in multiple polls to make BYU the
national
champion.
Oh, there's nothing fabricated about it. I've seen the trophy.
Okay. Micah Harper, Braden Kine, both 83s. LJ Martin in 82. Okay, a little nod to LJ. Ben Bywater, the best linebacker at 81. Chase Roberts is the highest rated receiver. We'll have much more on that in a moment. Of note, Gary Bohannon, 79. Highest rated quarterback, Jason. I feel like we may talk about this.
Should we do that right now?
I think we should.
All right. Well, as you mentioned, Gary Bohannon, according to the new Football Game, is BYU's starter.
Okay.
So they've got Bohannon as the starter.
Okay.
As you mentioned, 79 overall. Jake Retzlaff as the backup at a 75 rating. So did EA Sports get the starter right going in to week one?
I understand where EA Sports and their personnel and their research are coming from. We're talking about Gary Bohannon, a quarterback who on his resume led Baylor to a Big 12 championship. Granted, it was 3 years ago. Hasn't started a game in almost 2 years, has been off the radar, but they still know what he did.
Yes.
Assuming health, Jason, and I know that's assuming a lot at the quarterback position, specifically at BYU, based on the history of how things have gone recently for quarterbacks at BYU. Assuming health, I think they did get it right. If he's healthy, have you seen him play football when he's healthy?
Oh, yeah. No, there's his body type, how he's built, his skill set, all leads to, if he's healthy, certainly leaning that direction.
Yes. So if he is healthy, we know what he looks like when his shoulder is right.
Yes.
And he is in peak physical condition. He's a very, very commanding presence.
Yes.
An impressive presence. If that arm is okay, and we won't know until you get into an actual game rep, and maybe some of fall camp, but even fall camp is a little bit misleading. You just cannot, you cannot perfectly emulate what game speed is like. Like when he's like really letting it rip, like what's that going to look like in a game? We'll see if his shoulder truly is healthy. But if it's healthy, yes, they got it right. I do think they did Jake Retzlaff a little bit dirty.
That seems a bit low.
I think his rating's a little bit too low.
Yes, yeah.
I'd put him at a 77 or a 78. It's close.
Mm-hmm.
I'd put him there. And I've been a defender of Jake. Think about the four starts he made. They were all against top five Big 12 teams. Come on. You're making your first Division I starts in a Power Four conference, and two of them are on the road. Oh, were three of them on the road? Oh, two of them are on the road. That's right. Iowa State and Oklahoma. Two of them are on the road. But they're all against top five Big 12 teams, where they finished. Jake has been ultra motivated. I think his rating should be a little higher. So Gary Bohannon is a starter. Okay, it's fine. I understand. Jake's number is too low. I think that quarterback battle is going to be closer than these ratings would suggest.
Yeah, and I don't think that they're putting Bohannon in here unless they're just assuming health. Because if you're taking health into account, then I'm not sure that's how this plays out. But if all things are equal, everybody's healthy, I think what you said is spot on, that based off of his track record and what he has done at a high level in this conference already, I think that's why he's getting the nod. And I don't know if anybody can argue with that. How many times down in Vegas did you and I get asked from opposing Big 12 coaches, other media members?
Yes, multiple head coaches.
Like, what was the first question?
So who's going to start?
Who's going to be the quarterback?
Who's going to be your
quarterback? We got asked that question all the time.
You're friends with Kalani. You go ask him.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. Kalani doesn't know at this point.
And that's where we're at. Is I could as much as we're talking about Gary and everything being the starter here, it would not surprise me one bit if it turns out that it's Jake Retzlaff.
No, seriously.
That's where this is at right now. And I know sometimes people say, oh, well, they just want to draw it out. They know who it is. Right now, they don't.
If you would like to take Aaron Roderick and Kalani Sitake at their word, notably Aaron Roderick, he said, and I'll remind you again, whichever quarterback takes care of the ball the best and can move the offense down the field will be the starter. So guess what we're going to be watching for every day closely in fall camp? Who's turning the ball over and which ones are leading the team down the field?
Yep.
I know it seems like a no-brainer, but they have put so much emphasis because BYU was so burned by terminal turnovers last year.
You cannot give up possessions, especially when you're giving up short fields the other direction.
Pick sixes.
Or direct scores.
Yes, defensive touchdowns for the opponents.
Yes.
Those are the two things to watch.
Yep.
Who's turning the ball over, who's taking care of it, and which quarterback's moving the team down the field in the fall. That, ladies and gentlemen, will be your starter. EA Sports thinks it's Gary Bohannon. Our question of the day. Gary Bohannon, yes, he's the starter in EA Sports 25, College Football 25. Do you think they got it right going into week one of the season? We have a very simple yes, no poll question to go along with it. If you would like to explain yourself in reply, fine, do that as well. But we'll tell you the poll results right now. It is 59% yes right now that EA Sports got it right. So 59% of those who have voted believe Gary Bohannon will be the starter, to 41%, I'm assuming, who think that Jake Retzlaff will be the guy. I know that there are some other quarterbacks in the mix, but it feels like
it's
Bo Hannon or Retzlaff.
Yeah.
Come on.
100%.
At 2_6_Simo on X answers, the main issue with Retzlaff was turnovers, as we were just discussing. But if he's got that under control, then he has the inside track to start since he's played in the system last year. And Jake didn't turn the ball over one time through all of the spring workouts. So take that for what it's worth.
All right.
Hashtag BYUS on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
It's one of those days. We're going to mix in a third
Let's do it.
Trending topic.
There's a lot happening.
How about this one? Yesterday on CBS Sports' Eye on College Basketball podcast, Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander were talking about the 2025 recruiting class, and Parrish said that BYU is the team to beat right now to land a possible number one player in the country.
Yeah, okay.
How big of a deal is this?
I don't know that I have words to explain just how big of a deal this is. In what galaxy, in what universe is this a thing for BYU basketball? I know that once upon a time, Jabari Parker was on BYU's radar, but did you really feel like Jabari Parker was going to pick BYU ever? Like, legitimately. Did you? I never did. I was like, it's cool that BYU's in his top three. He's going to Duke.
It was a want, but you knew how it was going
to
play out.
He's going to Duke.
Yes.
He's going to go play for Coach K. He's going to go to Duke, and then he's going to go to the NBA. That's what happened.
Yes.
I just could not emotionally buy into that. This is different. Because of how things have played out over the last 90 days since Kevin Young took over as head coach, the fact that BYU may get the number one high school recruit in the country, or at least they're in the lead right now,
correct,
is wild. And it is a 100% tribute to Kevin Young. He is the special sauce. He is the secret ingredient, Jason. It's not anything else. It's not NIL. It's not facilities. It's not all that matters. Yeah. Kevin Young is the secret sauce.
The best part of this, and I highly recommend watching the video of this if you can versus just listening to it, despite me being a radio guy. Watch the video part of this because, and I'm pretty sure it's Matt Norlander who reacts. Clearly, they did not talk about this ahead of time. This was not something that was discussed, and this is sort of a fake reaction. But when Gary Parrish said, the team I'm hearing is the team to beat for this young man is BYU. And Norlander was stunned.
What?
He's like, what?
Yeah, you expect to hear a UConn. Or, I mean, like the two-time defending national champions, right?
Yes.
Something like that.
But,
Kansas.
But if this offseason has taught us anything about BYU basketball, it's that we shouldn't be surprised anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
It is a new day. It is a new era. And these things not only can happen at BYU, they are happening at BYU.
Yeah, at this point you're still doubting what Kevin Young has done already, his track record thus far. I know it's only been 3 months, but if you're doubting that this is legitimate, what are you watching?
Yeah.
What are you doing? This is real. I've been asking, why can't BYU beat Gonzaga, Jason? Gonzaga got former number one high school recruits. Why can't BYU be that? BYU has all of the facilities. They're better than Gonzaga's, quite frankly.
Yes.
And it's in a little bit better of, I don't even know if it's a little bit. I think it's in a better location than Spokane. They're in the toughest college basketball conference in America. That favors BYU. Why can't BYU, as a private institution like Gonzaga, be like Gonzaga or be the new version of that in the West?
Yeah.
You have the coach. You have the facilities. You have the donors. You have the backing. Now you're getting the roster. They're making a serious play at the best high school basketball player in America.
The days of us being surprised by this should be over, because we're seeing it every day, what this program is building. Yeah. And it's awesome. It's awesome.
It's kind of like Lord Helmet. How big of a deal is this? Ludicrous deal!
Did not expect a Lord Helmet reference on the show today. But by the way, man, that movie is great. All right, check out the latest Cougar Tailgate podcast with Lauren McClain and Brian Logan as they talk about where BYU will be most improved this season and the biggest challenges lying ahead into the season. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you Lone Star? You are a Lone Star, Jason.
Lone Star, yeah.
Up next, the College Football Playoff Executive Director Rich Clark joins us to discuss the future of the playoff, the Big 12's role in it, and which calendar date you need to mark down. Plus, why does he have a beef with BYU? This is BYUSN.
If I'm being honest, I'm probably more.
This segment of BYU Sports Nation presented by BYU Food to Go, the MVP of your next event.
The College Football Playoff, and this is the first year that the expansion has gone to 12 teams.
The expanded playoff makes the season that much more special and exciting. A race to the championship, and all eyes are going to be on the Big 12.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play alongside Jason Shepherd. I'm Spencer Linton. At Big 12 Media Days last week, Jason and I had a chance to speak with the executive director of the College Football Playoff, Rich Clark, and specifically addressed a number of situations that included the potential for future expansion. It's 12 teams. Will it go to 14 or 16? Also, the Big 12's role in the playoff. How many automatic bids will there be for a Power 4 conference like the Big 12? And his long-lost personal rivalry with BYU. This is 2-on-1 at Big 12 Media Days with Rich Clark.
Joining us now is the executive director of the College Football Playoff. He is Rich Clark from Big 12 Media Days at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Rich, welcome to BYU Sports Nation.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be here.
Now, you just told us offline you're a Raiders fan.
I am. I grew up in Oakland. Oakland proper, California. So
a true Raiders fan.
I am die hard. Every time they move, I stick with them.
Okay,
I don't go away.
Now they're in Vegas, so this has to carry some significant meaning for you to be in this state.
Totally. I love it.
So what's it like? You see all the Raiders colors. You've got the logo at center field, or right at midfield. Not too bad, right?
The only thing better than the Raiders is college football.
Hey. And listen, you're in it. The playoff is expanding from 4 to 12.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've been asked the following question approximately 485,000 times today. But as far as expansion goes and the ideas that maybe there is a 14-team model, there's a 16-team model, where do we stand in that conversation?
Now, I've been asked it 485,001 times. But, so honestly, my thoughts on this, and I think for our whole team at CFP and really the commissioners, is we need to get this playoff round right. It has to go without a hitch. We need to put our best foot forward and make it spectacular for the student athletes, the fans, the coaches, everybody involved, and then take a look and see, okay, what do we do to go to the next level? What could make this better? There's a lot of thoughts and ideas out there, like you mentioned, and they are on the table, right? But we got to see how this round goes first and then make some decisions after that.
So what does that look like? When you say we got to get this right, in your mind, what does getting it right look like?
Yeah, well, it all starts with the selection committee and how they respond, and they're very good. I have a lot of faith in the selection committee. I got to sit through three of the meetings last year. Total integrity, collegiality, but they tackled some hard issues, right? And they made some tough decisions.
Oh, particularly difficult last year.
Right. It was extraordinary to watch them in action. And so that's the first step. And then we get the brackets, right? And we need to do that in accordance with the protocols that we've already laid out and do that the right way. But then when these games happen, they need to be good, especially that first round. The campus games where, you know, teams, seeds 5 through 8 get to host those games. Those
home
are
sites.
Home games. But they have to be great. And we, CFP, have to make sure that we're helping those home teams to make it spectacular so that the people that see them, they know that it's something special. Because it's going to be electric on those campuses. It's got to be electric to the fans, too. And they got to know that this means something.
It's such a unique challenge, and this is not something that your average college football fan probably thinks about, but just the calendar involved.
Yeah.
And you've got conference championship games, and now you're talking about, okay, if a team that gets into the playoff and they're one of those seeds from 5 to 12. They played a 13 game because of the conference championship game.
Right.
Now they're going to play 14th, 15th, and maybe 16th game.
Yeah.
So, this, I mean, navigating that is interesting. And you got the NFL playoffs coming into the picture as well. You're kind of trying to work with them and around them. So how do you do that?
Yeah, that's a good question. But we're going to navigate this. And I think the 12-team playoff is actually a pretty happy medium for us to start with, because you brought up a lot of things right there. An expanded season, a packed media schedule, a packed TV schedule with NFL, college games. You know, it starts to be a lot, right? And so I, in my view, it's better to start off with something that we're pretty sure that we can do, and that we can do in a good way, not overextend our student athletes and our coaches, not overpack the schedule, but do something that's spectacular for America. Do something that our fans are going to love and actually crown a true champion.
Man,
I think the 12-team playoff, we're in a very good spot. But you always have to look back, right? You can't ever rest on your laurels. And if it goes amazingly well, we can't stop. We got to take a look and go, okay, how do we get better? And what is that? So the kinds of things that you're talking about are things that we're going to have to look at after it's done. But right now, we think we kind of hit a pretty good place, happy medium, and it is going to be amazing. So I'm excited.
Well, in the expansion to 12 teams is part of the change I'm talking about, but there's been so much change in college athletics in general. As executive director, what's the plan to try and keep up and keep ahead of all of the things that change, it seems like, on a daily basis?
Yeah, I ask myself that 485,000 times a day. So as the executive director of the college football playoff, I don't have a lot of decision-making in that landscape, you know, with the House ruling, with the transfer portal, and all those things that we're talking about. However, I have to keep up with it, because all of it affects the sport. All of it affects the decisions that our commissioners make. All of it affects how I present them, me and the CFP team. How do we present them the information that they need to make the best decisions? All of those things add pressures to our commissioners, our student athletes. We have to be attuned to the landscape, and it's evolving and changing, like by the minute, it seems like sometimes. But we have to stay in touch, because it all is a part of this enterprise, and we just have to keep our arms around it and keep moving forward to make sure that it doesn't derail us in any way. And the thing I like to tell people is, you always have to be looking ahead. If you're not looking forward and thinking about it, then you get caught on your heels, and then bad things happen. So we have to stay in the know of what's going on, and try to predict and think about what could happen. What are the possible futures?
Rich Clark is the executive director of the college football playoff. Small task. You know, it's a small task to manage something that nobody cares about. Everybody cares about this in college sports. Just to clarify, from a calendar standpoint, I'm looking at December. I believe that the college football conference championship games are scheduled for December 7th.
Right.
When do you have specifically targeted for the home site games, and then the quarterfinals that would follow after that, followed by the Final Four?
Right. So we'll have 2 weeks from that December 7th game to the first round.
Okay.
And that gives, you know, that gives our athletes a little time to get their legs up under them, to work on some of the injuries and things that have happened throughout the season, give the coaches a little time to think through what the next steps are for the playoff. So there'll be 2 weeks before the first round, and then we go and step through the rounds there. So the biggest break is right there.
From the 7th to the 21st.
Right.
Okay.
The 2 weeks that we have. That was some very deliberate by the commissioners to look out for our student athletes, their health and safety, to make sure that they had a chance to have a little bit of recovery time before they roll into the playoff.
Mm. We're here at Big 12 Media Day, and so it's all things Big 12. I'm curious your thoughts on this conference and what role it can play in college football moving forward.
It's amazing, the growth that the Big 12 has had. And, you know, before I was just looking at it as a fan going, man, they're making some big moves. Now I'm, like, right in the thick of it,
yeah,
watching this happen and going, okay. I think the Big 12's growth, and Commissioner Yormark has done a great job of leading the conference to being all that it can be. But, you know, in the end, the other thing that I think for this playoff is that every conference, at least in the top four, and then that one fifth champion has the one automatic qualifier is the conference champion. After that, it's wide open. And it's up to how well a team performs in the season, the whole body of work through their season for those next seven teams that are going to get in. So as good as the conference is, I know all of the conferences are trying to vie for those spots and trying to get better. It's going to be really, really interesting. But I do believe the growth of the Big 12 has to be an advantage. You know, there's some pretty powerful teams in there now. So it's going to be interesting.
Automatic bids have been a thing that have been discussed as well. Like the SEC, I'm sure every conference is like, well, we deserve the most automatic bids.
Right.
You know, the Big 10 and the SEC are probably loudest in that conversation for good reason. But how do you balance those ideas as well in terms of which conferences deserve the automatic bids and how many do they deserve?
Well, you know, those were discussions that people had because it was a possibility. But in the end, the commissioners settled on the format that we have now. The only automatic bids are those five championship teams.
Sure.
And I think one of the values of that they wanted to preserve for this playoff is to value champions, you know. And so the four that will the first four, as they're ranked out, will get the bye. And then the fifth champion will get ranked either wherever they fall in the seeding or number 12, you know, whichever's higher. And that's the only thing that's automatic about this. After that, how do you perform? What's your body of work? What's your strength of schedule? How many games did you win? You know, head-to-head competitions, all those things that the selection committee will take into account, it's going to matter. And nobody has an advantage over anyone else.
Man, Selection Sunday for college basketball is always such a thing.
Yeah,
right.
College football's now beginning to rival that with this.
Yes, yes. It's exciting. It's exciting.
That's,
I love it.
That's a great word for it. Okay, so we're going to crown a national champion on January 20th, for those wondering. Mark your calendar, January 20th.
Right. That's
in Atlanta.
It's MLK Day. It's Inauguration Day. So everyone's going to be nice and relaxed.
Yeah.
Half the country's going to be mad because their guy didn't get inaugurated. And then we'll have the championship game to pull it all together.
Rich, what have you done for you? What have you done here? Your life is going to be stress.
You muted your mentions already just in preparation?
No, I am excited. Yeah, I really am. Yeah. It's going to be like to come in now. I mean, of all the times in history that I could have got hired to do this job, it's now. And I couldn't be more excited. It's just—it's going to be amazing.
Hey,
just to be a part of it. You know?
Listen, we typically give BYU Sports Nation karma to all of our guests for different challenges they face. We're giving you
all right
some BYUSN karma.
Let me just—I got to put something out here. So I played football at the Air Force Academy.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay, you know all about BYU.
I know more about BYU than I ever wanted to. When I was a senior, our team was 12-1.
85?
Yes.
You were on the 85 Air Force team.
I have a picture of me sacking Robbie Bosco.
Let's go.
That was in Sports Illustrated.
Rich.
Hey, there you go.
However, that was our one
loss. You lost that game.
That was, and I look at the picture with a little bit of pride, and then my heart, it's like another knife in the picture.
Legendary Fisher DeBerry team.
Yes, that's my coach.
Legendary team.
Yes.
People don't know how good Air Force was in the 80s.
We were.
So good.
So if the playoff had been in existence then, we'd have been in the playoff.
Absolutely.
We ended up ranked 5 in the UPI and 8 in the AP. We would have been in the 20.
College football playoff.
We'd have been doing it.
So many great battles between BYU and Air Force. That's like my youth.
Yes.
Is BYU Air Force and that back and forth?
Oh, you guys were – I mean, you know, you look back, Steve Young, Robbie Bosco, Ty Detmer after that. You know, the history of your teams is – it. As impressive as it is, it puts a knife in my heart because I think about one loss. We were 12-1. So I almost didn't come do this.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you did.
No, I am too. It's awesome.
We thank you for turning the other cheek.
Huge respect for BYU and the programs you've had. And, you know, it was always a rivalry, but a lot of respect.
Hey.
Always.
The respect is mutual for what you did and what you represented as a cadet at the Air Force Academy.
No, I appreciate it.
Outstanding.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And it's always been a great testament, I think, to college football when you have those kind of rivalries. And, you know, it's changed a little bit now.
Sure.
But those rivalries, they endure, and it makes this whole sport rich and special, and this playoff is going to take it even to another level. So
well
very
said.
Exciting.
Love it. Well said. Rich, great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Clark, the executive director of the College Football Playoff. I'm so glad my voice feels better.
We did so many interviews. Your voice was gone.
Gone.
It was gone.
And that was at the end of day two. That was gone. How much fun was that?
That was a blast. In fact, if you missed any of our Big 12 Media Day interviews with players and coaches or executives across the Big 12, you could find them on BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page.
Listen, expansion isn't just for the College Football Playoff. It might be for the Big 12 again. The latest rumblings on Florida State in that conversation and some social media gold from Tom Holmo. This is BYUSN. Welcome back to Studio B on a happy Tuesday. I am Spencer. He is Jason. It's time now for our daily trivia question. Because we're celebrating 100 seasons of BYU football, our fabulous producer Colton Potter has worked with our crew to put together some random BYU football trivia. So join with us and see if you can answer it correctly. Colton, what is the question of the day?
All right, today's question. Which team does BYU have the most wins against in program history?
Wow. The most wins in program
all-time
history?
All-time wins.
All-time.
This has got to be like an old WAC phone.
Yeah, yeah.
So, who was in the OG WAC? New Mexico?
See, I'm thinking Wyoming. That's my answer.
Yeah,
I'm going to say Wyoming.
It's got to be an OG WAC phone.
Yeah, I'm going Wyoming.
Wyoming. I'll join you in that.
Okay.
Wyoming for the win. Colton, did we get it?
You did not.
Oh! Who
is it? Utah State.
It's Utah State.
51 wins all time.
Wow.
Okay.
Colton, I'm going to need you and your crack research team to figure out how many times BYU has beaten Wyoming.
And then add one for the upcoming season.
And I need that note for my pregame hit when I'm in Laramie just to drive that point home. Because I know they've won a lot. Good stuff.
Be careful up there, by the way.
Utah State, 51 wins. Wagon wheel domination.
There it is.
51-37. Holy cow.
46.
Wow, that was fast. 46 wins all time against Wyoming.
We were close.
I would have defaulted to the old WAC.
That's where I went immediately. It's teams that you've played in the same conference for decades.
All right. Yeah, all right. It's good to beat the Aggies a lot, too.
Yeah. Why not?
All right, let's get to today's headlines.
All right, as we mentioned in What's Trending, the new college football video game was released yesterday. BYU football earning a rating of 80 overall, 12th among Big 12 teams. Maybe that's a good omen, 12 in the Big 12.
Okay.
BYU's top player overall was defensive end Tyler Batty, who had a rating of 84. Notably, Gary Bohannon is BYU's starting quarterback in the game at 79 overall, and Jake Retzloff is the backup at 75 overall.
Also mentioned earlier in the program, we'll bring it up again, because yesterday on the CBS Sports Ion College Basketball Podcast with Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander, Parrish reported that the number one high school recruit in the country currently has BYU as his team to beat in the race to recruit him. Props to Kevin Young and his staff for continuing to crush it in the recruiting realm. We've never seen this at BYU. Awesome.
Friend of the program, Brett McMurphy, reported this morning that the Big Ten and the SEC are unlikely to add Florida State. That's if the Seminoles were to actually leave the ACC and the ACC survives, because adding Florida State doesn't make financial sense. The conferences have no desire to expand, and Florida State has been a, quote, disruptive partner. Notable news after the news that came out this past weekend about the Big 12's possible interest in both Florida State and Clemson.
Listen, I think a guy who ran Jay-Z's entertainment business can handle some big personalities and some disruption. So, Brett, your mark on line one for Florida State, baby. In Brett, we trust. Notably, rookie offensive tackle Kingsley Suamataia, who played in the Big 12 last year, reports to Jason's Kansas City Chiefs rookie training camp today as we get closer to the beginning of the NFL season. It's mid-July, Jason.
Kingsley, I will see you on Monday.
You're going to be there.
I'll be there Monday and Tuesday. I will be there. So I will see Kingsley.
All right. Outstanding.
And Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, possibly Taylor Swift.
See Andy Reid.
Andy Reid.
Our guy.
Yeah.
Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Jason, start us off.
All right. What do you make of Brett McMurphy's report of the SEC and the Big Ten not being interested in adding Florida State?
Not surprised at all that the SEC and Big Ten don't want to do this. They're already big enough. They already have enough name brands. They've already figured out their super lucrative billion-dollar deals. Like, it would just complicate things. The Big 12 is in a race to solidify itself as the third power conference. And if the ACC goes away, adding Florida State, maybe Clemson, certainly would like almost shut the door on that and be like, okay, we're number three and it's over.
If either conference viewed adding Florida State as a value add, they would do that. So in their minds, they're not seeing value in adding. That's why they're not doing it.
I want it for UCF in West Virginia.
Yeah, like, Cincinnati would.
Yes, I would love to have like them have an East Coast contingent and certainly another team in Florida.
Yeah.
Yesterday at SEC Media Days, former Alabama head coach Nick Saban, who's now an ESPN analyst, a well-paid one, I'm sure, was denied access to Media Days because he forgot his credential.
What are we doing?
I'm sorry, who are you with? What have you done?
All he should have said was, this is my credential.
What's your best credential story, Jason?
I don't really have like a great personal credential story. However, you and I have a combined credential story.
Yes,
that
we
happened
do.
When you and I went to see the Chiefs in Denver against the Broncos. We thought we had some passes.
We got confirmation that we received credentials from the Denver Broncos staff, only to show up and they're like,
we don't have any record of this.
We don't have a record of this. The person you're referencing, like, they're in a separate department. Needless to say, we placed one phone call to the great Tammy Reid.
Thanks, Tammy.
Wife of Andy Reid, and she came to the rescue, came through the portal, was like, I got you guys. She's like dancing, holding
the credentials. And we got even better access because of that.
It turned out for the best.
Field access for a little while.
Yeah, shout out to Aaron Andrews as well.
Oh, boy. Now, there's a story. BYU men's basketball has been doing an in-house NBA combine as part of their summer workouts. Yesterday, they posted a video of Trey Stewart breaking the all-time NBA combine record for the pro four-way agility test. How about that? What kind of role do you expect from Trey this season with the Cougs?
Well, if you can't tell, he's super athletic.
Yeah.
And last year we heard a little bit of outside noise about, like, hey, he could be a special defensive player. John Linehan is an elite defensive coach, Jason. And you saw how excited John was in that video when Trey hit that second or that mark. I think he could play a real role in, like, being Mawit Mag's mentee, if that's a word, right? You know?
The role I expect from Trey Stewart is I expect him to play a lot of different roles. I think sometimes he'll go in as a defensive stopper. I think sometimes he'll be a change of pace guy. I think they will utilize all the skills of Trey Stewart in many different areas. I look for him to play a lot of different roles.
Yeah, I think he could be a defensive special. He's so athletic. I think he could be a lockdown guy for sure with the right coaching.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we continue our countdowns, Jason? Because BYU is about to kick off their 100th season, and it happens on August 31st against Southern Illinois. So we're looking back at some of the most notable players in BYU football storied history. Because we're 46 days away, remember this guy?
Oh, yeah.
Shea Muirbrook! Didn't he have 6 sacks in the Cotton Bowl? 5, something like that?
That guy was an absolute
6
beast.
Sacks.
Beast.
Yeah, Cotton Bowl record, not surprising. 6 sacks. 6 sacks is pretty good for a season. Let alone one major bowl game. One of the best defensive players in the history of BYU football. 345 tackles, 19 sacks overall, 23 tackles for loss, 6 forced fumbles. And of course, played a huge part in BYU's 1915 win over Kansas State.
I'm just always amazed at people that played in that era and before, just how big they look with the big shoulder pads.
The neck roll.
Like, you just look so menacing. It's awesome. And he was menacing. That guy would terrorize the opposition.
Yes.
It was great.
I've had him on the show a few times. Fantastic guest. 46 days away. 46.
46.
It's not that far. All right, we learned who the best BYU players are in the new college football video game, but Which of those are the most underrated? It feels like a top five Tuesday topic. This is BYUSN.
We don't need nobody to believe in us, but anybody that got that wad in their chest.
I like the underdog story. I think everyone will like an underdog story.
He's been one of the most underappreciated players on this BYU football team.
It doesn't really matter where you start at, it's where you finish.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B. It is time for Top 5 Tuesday, and in the spirit of the release of EA Sports College Football 25, we're looking at the top 5 most underrated BYU players in the game. Some disrespect here,
yeah,
Jason.
Yeah. Let's start with number 5, Jake Retzlaff.
Yeah.
We talked about this in trending, a 75 rating overall. BYU's 17th best player overall, second among the quarterbacks. We mentioned they've got Gary Bohannon as the starter. As we know, Jake started the final four games of the season last year for BYU, fighting for the starting job this year. It is going to be the battle everybody pays attention to in camp.
Give him an offensive line that's well coached and let him make a start not against the top five Big 12 team. You know, let's give the guy a chance. Number 4, Keanu Hill. Kebo, my guy. A 75? Really? BYU's 24th best player overall according to the game. He is number 1 in the tight end depth chart, made the move from receiver to tight end in the offseason, of course. He looks great. He feels great. Listen, take this, add it to the old chip on the shoulder, Kebo. 73 career receptions for 1,212 yards, 11 touchdowns. He's going to add plenty more to those categories this year as a tight end.
At number 3, Hinkley Ropati. 73 rating, 41st best player overall, 3rd among BYU running backs. Remember, he's coming off the ACL injury, missed all of last season. Expected to have a major role in the offense this year. That game at Boise State you just saw the highlight of, that's what Hinkley is capable of. I hope we get to see a lot of that this year.
At number 2, I think he's the best defensive player on the team. At least he was in the spring. Jack Kelly, 76 overall. So that's the 16th best on BYU's team in the game. Top-rated outside linebacker, transfer from Weber State, has massive expectations, as we've chronicled. 85 tackles, 20 tackles for loss, 16 and a half sacks, 5 forced fumbles in 28 games in his Weber State career. Can't wait to watch him play in the Big 12. Can't wait to see his rating get a number of ticks going in the right direction. He deserves to be in the 80s, Jason.
And in our Top 5 Tuesday, the number 1 most underrated player according to the video game.
Come on.
Darius Lassiter, a 74 rating overall. Let me tell you,
Boo!
I love BYU's receiving group. I love the possibilities. I love the athleticism all over the field. Darius is the 37th best player overall, 4th among the wide receivers. Honorable mention, all Big 12 last season. 29 receptions for 365, 4 TDs in 10 games last year. Do not sleep on the BYU receiving core.
The 2 spectacular catches alone are worth at least an 80. Just view the catches against Texas and Texas Tech. That's it. 74? Yeah, they whiffed on this one. That's
the disrespect.
Listen, Darius loves it. Take it, bro. You got this. That is your Top 5 Tuesday most underrated players on EA Sports for BYU. Do you think EA Sports got it right with the quarterbacks? More responses to our question of the day after this. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. EA Sports has Gary Bohannon as the starter for BYU in the new EA Sports College Football 25 game. Did they get it right going into week number 1 of the season? Final poll results, at least at this point, 58% of you said yes, they got it right. Gary's a starter. 42% said no. Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Jason, would you like to read it? Tana Chris on X?
Yeah, let's do that. I'm all for a good battle for the first week of fall camp, but at that point, a starter needs to be made and given all the first team reps. With our recent QB history, I bet both will start at some point this year.
Well said. Probably going to need both.
You look, it's not just BYU. That's college football, and you've got to have a guy that's ready to go because injuries are a part of it, and we've seen it year in and year out.
Yes. Today's Rising Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. How about to Tom Holmo? Great interactions with media on social media yesterday. Utah Athletic Director Mark Harlan tweeted to Tom saying, "Hey, I'm getting flooded with football officiating complaints. Are we playing each other right now?" To which Tom responded with this: "Can't talk right now. I'm locked in." He's playing the video game.
He's playing Utah right now. I love it.
Oh, so good. Well done, Tom. He knows. Our AD knows, Jason.
Yeah. I wonder if he had to wait for a copy.
Was he granted early access?
I would think Tom can pull some strings.
That's so good. Hey, our thanks to today's guest, former Air Force cadet, 85 football teamer, and college football executive director of the playoff, Rich Clark.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Vi Sikahema. See you tomorrow. Go Cougs!